Praise the Lord. Isn't it wonderful to worship the Lord together, friends? He is here. You know why I say that so boldly? It's because he promised us in his word. And if God said it, that settles it. He's here. Amen. Praise the Lord. I was reading the other day, and it reminded me of when American Idol first began. I used to watch it. The best part of the season was when the wannabes would come out for the auditions. I lost interest when they narrowed down to the last 50 of people who actually had talent. It was amazing for me that when Simon would ask, "Why are you here today?" the answer would always be, "Because I want to be, because I am the next American Idol." They didn't say, "I would like to be the next American Idol." They said, "I am." And it was amusing to see how bad some of these people really were. They interviewed one youngster who was about to go on to be auditioned. He told them that he had his own band back home. And when they went and interviewed his father, the father said that his sons sang like a bird. But when the young man went into the audition room and opened his mouth, it sounded like an animal being tortured. The judges were not impressed. Simon buried his head in his hand. Paula just stared at the floor. And Randy laughed out loud and said, "No, dog, you can't sing." That's funny. But there are a lot of people in the world who make themselves miserable because they are trying to be something that they are not. They have never found the purpose for which they were born. And the message of the Bible, friends, is that God has made each one of us for a purpose. And until we find out and live out that purpose, we are missing out on something very important. We can rebel and go against what we feel is the right. We can go another way, but we will miss out the blessings of finding the reason why we were born. The Bible says in Proverbs 19:21, "Many are the plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails." All of us were born with the purpose, friends, and the purpose is to belong to God and to live for Him and to use our lives to make the world a better place. God is our Creator, Savior, and friend, and to miss out on knowing Him personally, would be the greatest mistake in our lives. We can know about Him, but that's not enough, friends. We have to know Him whom to know is life eternal. We have to know Jesus. We know about the blessings, the protection, the provision. We know about all these things that are added to our lives. But we need to know Him. Amen. Listen, man. We need to know Him. Doesn't take a special talent to find Him and to know Him and to know His purpose. Friends, God is not as interested in our ability as He is in our availability. You say, "Well, I'm an awesome guitarist." He says, "Awesome, man, that's good. But listen, are you available to live out the purpose which I have for you, the plans I have for you, says the Lord?" This would often This is often seen in how he loves to use ordinary people to do extraordinary things. Allow me to give you some background to Judges chapter 6. We find the nation of Israel in typical fashion had once again turned their backs on God. This would often happen after a period in which things went awesome and well and lovely for them. But then they would become self-sufficient and push God away. I like Spurgeon said many years ago, he said, the Lord does not permit his children to sin successfully. And as these people would push God away and turn to idols and do their own thing, the enemy would always come in and tough times will spill over into the lives of the people. Friends, have you noticed that God uses tough times to get our attention? You say, why is this happening? God wants your attention. In Judges chapter 6, 1 to 5, is our text, part of our text for today. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Because the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. And whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern people invaded the country. They camped on the land and ruined the crops all the way to Gaza and did not spare a living thing for Israel. Neither sheep nor cattle nor donkeys. They came up with their livestock and their tents like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count the men and their camels, and they invaded the land to ravage it. That's how the enemy came upon Israel. Verse 1 tells us, friends, that it was because they did evil in the sight of the Lord that God's people were given into the hands of the mighty Midianites. Verse 2 tells us they were extremely powerful and oppressed the Israelites mercilessly. Because things were so bad, the Israelites used to go and hide in the mountains and in caves and in crevices and so on, fearing for their lives. Verse 3 says, whenever they planted the crops, the enemies would come and destroy the crops. Verse 4 tells us they did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep nor cattle nor donkeys. Verse 5 says, mentions that the enemy would come in like locusts and ravage the land. You see, the Midianites were such a powerful, huge force. The Bible says it was impossible, verse 5, to count the men and their camels. And what they couldn't carry away, what they couldn't steal and go with, they burnt, they destroyed. This morning, friends, amidst all this, we are going to look at a man named Gideon, who could be described as a shy, timid introvert when we are first introduced to him. He goes through a significant change, a metamorphosis. He is transformed. How? By an encounter with God Almighty. You see that, friends? In Hebrews chapter 11, we find there is a passage, that whole chapter is called the Spiritual Heroes Hall of Faith. You go home and read Hebrews 11, a listing of God's spiritual heroes. There you will find the name Gideon listed among the heroes, along with people like Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abram and Samuel and Samson and David. And while God greatly used these individuals, it wasn't because they were all pumped up, muscular, big swords and so on, and awesome fighters. No. It wasn't because they were without fault. Let's look at our Hebrews chapter 11, what it says. Verse 32 to 34, it says, "And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell you about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets who through faith," did you get that? "Who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword." Listen to this part. "Whose weakness was turned to strength." Do you see that? "And who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies." Did you notice that phrase? "Whose weakness was turned to strength." In other words, God used these spiritual heroes to do great and mighty things for Him. Not because they worked out in the gym. Not because they pumped iron. In fact, they were weak. But they were available. Do you see that? It wasn't, "Lord, you know why? I know why you chose me. Because I'm awesome." No. God said, "I chose you, you weakling. But you know what? It's my strength. You are going to become strong in me." Gideon was listed among the spiritual heroes. We think of heroes and we think of people who have strong determination, courage, and character. We think of someone who doesn't run away from a fight. There's no question that Gideon was not such a person. In chapter 6, verse 11, in fact, if you read that passage, you'll find that he is hiding. He's looking through the cracks in the wall. He is hiding in a wine press where they take the grapes and crush it and make wine. Gideon is hiding there, but he is taking his wheat and he's threshing his wheat to try and get some flour for his family before the enemy comes and steals. You say, "What? That's not hero material." You're right. However, listen in Judges 6, verse 12. "The angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon and said to him, 'The Lord is with you, mighty warrior.'" I see you laughing. I would have burst out laughing too. I'm hiding. I'm crushing some wheat. I'm trying to make some flour. And the angel says to me, "I'm a mighty warrior." What? How could this be? I'm scared and nervous and timid. But the Lord looks on me as a mighty warrior. The Lord looks at me as a hero. And if he can do that for Gideon, he can do that for you and I too, friends. Listen, when the Lord looks at you, I know when we look at ourselves, we're hard on ourselves. We say, "If only I could change this and that. If only I could have this or that." We're hard on ourselves. But the God is looking at you and saying, "There's my hero." I'm talking now like an African. I want you to get it in your spirit.
Amen.
Stop dragging your feet, Christian. God has great and mighty things in store for you.
Amen.
And yet the angel of the Lord says to Gideon, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." The New International Version says that. You know how King James says it? King says, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." When last were you called a mighty man of valor? Hey? Mighty warrior. When last, friends? At can imagine Gideon turning around thinking, I thought I was alone here. Who is he talking to? I bet Gideon was tempted to laugh out loud. Wait now, mighty man of Elohim, you got the wrong guy. You got the wrong man. You are looking for a great soldier. You are looking for a superhero. But that's not me. Helen will tell you, I fought tooth and nail to be a pastor. I did not want to be. My pastor used to come home and ask Helen to convince me to preach on Sunday. And I said, no way. But you know what, friends? The way I looked at myself is different to the way God looked at me. Amen? He looks at you different. You're awesome in His sight. You're the best thing that ever happened. Friends, we see our inadequacies, our failures, and we use them as excuses, but God sees our potential and what could be, and He wants to use us for His purpose. The Lord sees positive potential in every person. The angel of the Lord didn't see Gideon in his present situation. The angel of the Lord saw Gideon what he could become. God always sees more than we see. When He looks at you, He sees a hero in you. When God looks at Gideon, He sees Gideon as a mighty warrior, a strong soldier. In one sense, God is talking prophetically because He knows what Gideon is about to accomplish. But on the other hand, God is speaking a positional truth. Right at that moment, God will say, I know what you're going to become. But right at that moment, God is saying, you are a mighty warrior. You know why? I am with you. I am with you. You don't have to go there and then become a Christian. You don't have to go to seminary and then become a pastor. God is with you. You can do so right there and then. And when He looks at you, friend, He says, you are awesome. Not next week, now. Gideon's discouragement comes pouring out. He says to the Lord's messenger in verse 13, but sir, Gideon replied, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all His wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us in the hand of Midian. The angel of the Lord doesn't bother to say, okay, let's sit down and talk about this thing. No, the angel of the Lord goes on and responds with a calling and a commission to bring deliverance and freedom to Israel. Verse 14 to 16, the Lord turned to him. The Lord faced him directly and said, you know, Bible scholars believe that the angel of the Lord spoken about in this passage to be the person of Jesus, the Son of God, at work in Old Testament times. The Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. And am I not sending you? Verse 15, Gideon questions the commission. He's full of thoughts about his own abilities and how weak he is also. But Lord, Gideon asks, how can I save Israel? Come on. My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the youngest of my family. I am the least in my family. I come from the weakest clan, man. I'm the youngest in my family. I don't have the authority to call on the cavalry from other tribes, let alone my own tribe. And then verse 16, the Lord let him do this thing. And verse 16, the Lord answered, you ready? I will be with you. I will be with you. And you will strike down all the Midianites together. God promises to be with him, and he is also with us, friends. The reason why many fail today is simply because they are relying on their own abilities. It wasn't Gideon's talent that God knew he could use. In fact, it was his weakness. It was his disabilities God knew he could use. Oftentimes, God chooses, like I mentioned last week, what is foolish to confound the weak, and the weak things to confound the strong. God often chooses unlikely men and women to accomplish great things. We spoke about that last week. David, God, was just a shepherd boy, the youngest of his brothers. Yet he was later known as the one who kills bears and lions. He was known as the one who slayed a giant. And he became king when he was 16 or 17 years old. Friends, Rahab was a harlot. The harlot's an Old Testament word for prostitute. God used her to house the two Israelite spies, which eventually saved all of her household. Moses was hiding in a basket among the bulrushes as a baby to escape death from Pharaoh. Later, God used him to free the Israelites from slavery in Egypt. Isn't that something? Just as Gideon did not see himself as a mighty warrior, many of us don't fully understand who we are in Jesus Christ. You've been serving the Lord for a long time, but you're hard on yourself. You doubt who you are in Christ. Some of us have an image of ourselves that is not only healthy, but it's not biblical. We need to allow the truth of God's word. That's why we love the word of God here. We need to allow the truth of God's word to impact our identity. Let me give you a few examples right now. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, you are a child of God, John 1:12. You are a friend of God, John 15:15. You are chosen to bear fruit, John 15:16. You have been justified, Romans 5:1. You are free forever from condemnation, Romans 1 verse 8. You will never be separated from the love of God, Romans 8:35. You belong to God, 1 Corinthians 6:20. In Christ, you are a saint, Ephesians 1 verse 1. In Christ, you are God's workmanship, Ephesians 2:10. In Christ, you are a citizen of heaven, Philippians 3:20. In Christ, you have been redeemed and forgiven, Colossians 1:14. In Christ, you are complete. You are complete in Christ, Colossians 2 verse 10. Amen?
Amen.
Hey, we're not some hit and run backyard people who are hiding under a tree to worship a statue. No, sir. This is who you are in Christ. And today you are saying to yourself, well, Lord, Last week we learned that you don't look at the outward appearance, you look at the heart. And today you're saying you're looking at my heart and you're calling me a hero. Man, there must be something that the Lord wants to bring home to you. Stop condemning yourself. You are a child of God. God confirms his priorities with his presence. And verse 16 says, "And the Lord said to Gideon and to you and I, I will be with you. I will be with you." He gives us the commission and he promises the companionship. Gideon then asked for the first of several signs just to be sure. And verse 22, it says, "When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, 'Ah, sovereign Lord, I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face.'" If it was today, he would have said, "I've just seen Jesus." Gideon needed to understand, friends, who he was. But more importantly, he needed a personal encounter with God. You know, Napoleon's soldiers used to say, when Napoleon takes us by the hand and he looks at us, we feel like conquerors. You hear that one? When Napoleon takes our hand and looks at us, we feel like conquerors. When the Lord turned and looked at Gideon, it must have had an overwhelming sense of peace that can only come when you are in the presence of God. Likewise, the most important thing we can do, friends, is to get to know God. Listen, I want you to get to know him. To move from a head knowledge to a heart knowledge. You know about him, now you know him. The most important thing we can do is to get to know God. Take him by the hand, looking, as the hymn writer says, look full into his marvelous face. And as we do, we'll sense his presence, we'll understand his purpose and priority, and we'll be all fired up, we'll be spurred on, we'll be stirred up to do what he's calling us to do. God loves to show himself strong when we are weak. 2 Corinthians 12:9, he said to Paul, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." My strength made perfect in weakness. He delights in the difficult, but he specializes in the impossible. Luke 18 verse 27, Jesus said, "What is impossible with men is possible with God." Amen. I can see some of you want to dance on the ceiling. Someone has said that we should never attempt something so big for God that unless he is in it, it will fail. I'm sure that's how Gideon felt. I want to conclude, friends. What makes a hero? Is it one's ability? Is it because you had a good teacher and you had good training? What really makes a hero? It's a gift from God. God took his little timid, scared man who was once found hiding in a wine press and made him a great leader of his people. Yeah, we discovered the secret of great heroes of the Bible. The real secret is that God chooses to equip people in special ways for his work, and then he empowers them to do so. Judges 6, The Bible says in 33 and 34, then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together. They joined forces and they went over and camped in the valley of Jezreel. Then the spirit of the, listen, then the spirit of the Lord came down upon Gideon, and Gideon blew the trumpet, and Bezerites gathered behind him. Other tribes came and joined in. Suddenly, Gideon blows the trumpet, and the Bible says 32,000 men came to fight alongside him. How did this happen? Well, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, friends. What does the scripture say? Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord took possession of him, empowered him, and the Spirit is the same Spirit that empowers us today. He is a gift. And who is he? We call him the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John 16, verse 7 and 8, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient. Expedient means it is for your advantage. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove, he will convict the world of sin and the right and of righteousness and of judgment. Jesus said in John 14, 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he also do. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And then Jesus said in Acts 1, verse 8, but you shall receive power. Listen, you shall receive power. When? After the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. You say, Keith, I can't meet up to the challenge of being a Christian. I can't do what God wants me to do. I can't meet up to be, I'm not even good enough. I can't tell others about Jesus. Oh yes, you can, friends. You can. You can be that hero. If God can turn Gideon into a mighty warrior, into a mighty man of valor, he can do the same for you. Be encouraged by the example of Gideon. The mighty warrior, mighty only, not because of his biceps, no. Mighty only because God's mighty power came upon him. Do you see the difference, friends? That he was able to do great things. If you are determined to endure and appropriate God's purpose for your life, God will turn your cannots into cans. Suddenly, you begin to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can run and not grow weary. I can walk and not faint. Would you like to see an unlikely hero today? Anybody want to see an unlikely hero today? You're looking at him. Yeah. But go home and look in the mirror. You'll see another one. You'll see yourself, an unlikely hero. But what makes the difference? An encounter with the Lord. And allowing his power to come upon you. Friends, you may feel like Gideon. You may feel like the least of the least. You may feel like you are ordinary. But remember that ordinary people are and ordinary means are used to accomplish extraordinary things. When you give him all you got, he supplies all you need. When you are incapable, he is capable. When you are weak, he is strong. When you don't know, he knows. When you are powerless, he is all powerful. When you don't have the answers, he has the answers. God is the master of using the unlikely. He is an expert of turning the ordinary into extraordinary. Time and time again, we see God's power manifested on someone who on the outside doesn't look impressive. But on the inside, he has submitted and surrendered his or her life completely to God. Last week, God says, you're looking at all these fellows, Saul and all these big boys here of Jesse's. You're looking on the outside. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart, friends. What about the disciples? They were simple fishermen, not wealthy, not educated, not very influential. That is until Jesus got a hold of them. And these poor, uneducated fishermen turned the Roman world right side up in 30 years. Rome was never the same. What about you? You feel like an unlikely candidate to do anything significant for the kingdom? Friends, you are just the person God is looking for. You are just the person God loves to work with and through. God doesn't use those who think they already arrived. He doesn't use those who think they know all the answers or those who think they can do everything, because they are too busy listening to themselves to even hear what God says. God is saying to you this morning, I love to work through ordinary men and women who are truly willing to put their lives in, as we sang, the potter's hand. And say, I'm yours, I'm not much, but I trust you, God. Make me, melt me, mold me, fill me, and use me after your will and after your purpose. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, you are here. You knew long who's going to be here. You knew those who needed to hear this message. You've been speaking to their hearts, but they've been struggling on their own. You have called them. You have something planned for them, and you have a marvelous purpose for them. I pray this morning, Lord, like Gideon, they will say, Lord, because you are with me, I can do all things. Because you are with me, I am more than a conqueror. Because you are with me, I am strengthened and empowered by your Holy Spirit. Lord, help everyone here this morning. For those who haven't received you as Savior yet, not too late, no sir. Right where they are, Lord. Reach down, touch their lives. Cleanse them from all sin, forgive their sins. Jesus died on the cross so that we can be forgiven. Help us to receive your forgiveness and help us to be available for you and your purpose. In Jesus' name.